Man of God, arise as a PPK, a priest, prophet, and king. The priest in you will bring the needs of your family and community to God. The prophet declares the word of God over his family, and the king in you governs over all that God has entrusted you with. Join us as pastor and coach Gerald Benton encourages, leads, and teaches men to walk in their God-given kingdom role as a PPK.
Thank you for joining me one more time for this episode of The Turnaround. Today was, as you can read the title, From a Coward to a Warrior. God had me laughing today, boy, because it was really kind of funny to me because I can remember sitting there and just literally running from responsibilities, just running from calling, running from, and then complaining about it. It's just, it was crazy. And so God just started talking to me about, you know, being a coward and what's, and what happens and how you come out of it and how it relates to my marriage and relationships and all of this stuff. And I'm like, all right, God, where are we going with this? Cause all you gave me was a title. And then he started talking to me about different stories. And I'm a person that remembers stories in the Bible. I can remember stories and understand the story and understand where it's coming from. And so God just started talking to me about literally two different stories, and then he gave me a scripture to solidify it of who I am. And so the first one was Jonah. Everybody knows the story of Jonah being, you know, running from God, being, you know, ending up in the on a ship, you know, headed to Tarshish, and all of a sudden the winds and stuff got rough and got hard, and all of a sudden the people that were with him understood that he was actually running from God because they already told him. And so I remember running from God. I remember it just being extremely hard. Just, you know, thinking that because I want to do my own thing. I want to be my own person. You know, I don't want to do what God wanted me to do. In a way I did, because I wanted to do it, and I wanted to do it in a prideful way, because I felt like I was entitled to be able to do it because of my background, of who I am, my bloodline and all that. So I just felt entitled to do it. But when I wasn't allowed to do it, my spirit of pride, my spirit of stubbornness and all of those things kicked in, and it was like, okay, I'm gone. I'm running. It was like, now you're running from your responsibilities. I literally ran from my responsibilities as a husband, as a father, as a man of God, a son of God, a child of God, all of that. I was just gone. It was like out of there. And it was like, it showed me, it was like Jonah, you know, I was running and I find myself in a period of time in a rough place. My life was just extremely rough. It wasn't a good place. I mean, it just wasn't a good place. And so as I'm running, I'm picking up all of these different, you know, things and all of this stuff that I'm dealing with. And God is still talking. God still, he still talks. And so I'm sitting here and he's giving me this story of this morning, giving this story of Jonah. And I had to go back through my life, because all of these turnarounds has me going back to a place in my life where God has asked me to stand up, asked me to rise up and be the warrior that I've called for you to be. And I spent that time, you know, and I look back at, I spent a lot of that time running. I spent a lot of that time just, you know, neglecting my responsibility. And I was like, wow. I was like, okay, God, I see what I did. I see, you know, why I was running. I see, you know, what was some of the causes of me running, and what was the the result of me running, what happened to my family, what happened to the people around me, what happened. People got scared. People were in fear. People were scared. Just like Jonah. Jonah being on that boat, and they know that he's running from God. People know that you're running from God. People know that you're not doing what God wants you to do, and then it puts them in jeopardy. It puts them in, I was putting my family in jeopardy. I was putting my family in danger. They were like, they hadn't done anything, but they're because of my response, because of my actions, I put my family in a bad place. And so God gave me the other scripture, and he took me to Deborah and Barak, because what it was God wanted to show me that you weren't going to win this battle. You're not going to win this battle by yourself. I was literally trying to win this battle by myself. I was trying to win this battle by myself. I was trying to do things on my own. I was trying to grow on my own. But God has told me that you know, multiple times, that, you know, I created you as one. You need to operate as one. This marriage is not about just you and it, just you and then just her. It's about both of you together. You're intertwined into one. You're doing this as one. And anytime you try to do it without Yvette, and Yvette tries to do it without you, it's going to be problems. It's going to be problems. So he took me to Judges 4, 6, and 8, and the stories about Deborah and Barak. You know, Deborah was a prophetess, and she was judging at that time. And so she was hearing from God. My wife was hearing from God. She's hearing from God. And God has given us some instructions for me to actually do. But here's the enemy. The enemy puts this thing on, this thing called broken communication. So as she's trying to talk to me and is trying to give me instructions that God is trying to give me, or trying to give us as a team, as a unit, as one, I want to do it by myself. It is what it is. And so it took me a very long time to realize, okay, you can't do this by yourself. And so with the story with Deborah and Barak, she called him and had him to come, and he told him what he needed to do. And she told him, I mean, he told her, I'm paraphrasing, he told her he ain't going. He ain't going. He ain't going without her. So he understood that if for me to win this battle, I got to have you. And then she told him that, because, you know, that you won't get the glory out of this, it will be done by a woman. And for a man, I don't know about you, but I'm just saying, me being a man, knowing that, okay, I'm getting ready to go into battle, but I ain't gonna even get the, I'm not gonna get the credit for this win. I ain't gonna get the credit for this thing, you know. And if you deal with any kind of issues, you know, your pride is gonna kick up, and it's gonna be like, what? But here's the situation. Here's one thing that God really showed me. He said, every day you was waking up and not putting on your armor. Why would he tell you to put on the whole armor of God every day? Why would he tell you that? Because when you wake up, you already in a battle. When you go to sleep, you in a battle. That means that you have to prepare yourself day in and day out. You have to be prepared in season and out of season. It ain't a time for just putting down your weapons. It ain't a time for you to be sitting here crying. It ain't a time for you to be sitting here whining and woe is me, and wanting somebody to pat you on the back and say, oh, it's gonna be all right. It ain't time for that. It's time to stand up on your own. It's time to grab your ammunition, put on your armor of God, grab your sword, grab your word, grab your truth, gird up your goings. It's time to actually put some stuff in action. I was like, wow. And here's the process of all of that. It's like, okay, now you deliver. Now you back. Here it goes. Now I need you to stand up and be a man. I need you to be watchful. I need you to be in 1 Corinthians. He took me to 1 Corinthians 6 and 3. It says, be watchful. Stand firm in your faith. Act like a man. Be strong. Be strong. Act like a man and be strong, Gerald. Stop being a little wimp. Stop being inconsistent. Stop being a little boy. Stop running from your responsibilities. I've called for you to do something I talk of you to do something great in the land, and you walking around here acting like a little kid. You walking around here acting like you don't even understand what I've put inside of you. You acting like you don't understand what's in your DNA. You acting like you don't even understand how to pray, how to fast, how to speak, how to declare. You acting like all of this. I've given this stuff to you. I've given you a helpmeet that is suitable. I've given you a partner that is willing to walk this journey with you. I've given you everything that you need, but you still walking around here looking like a little coward. Man, that thing hit my ego. That thing tapped into my pride. That thing tapped into that stubbornness. I'm like, man, why you talking to me like this? This is how God talking to me. It's like when I'm trying, when I'm slipping and I'm not doing it right. So when you're sitting there, let me tell you something. When you sit in there and you acting like you in a pity party. Oh's me. Why is everything happening to me? Man, you better stand up and get up. Man, you guys already said you got victory over the enemy. You already got victory, but you walking around like you defeated, like you a defeated foe. Man, stand your behind up. Stop crying. Stop whining. Stop whining about your marriage. Stop whining about your spouse. Stop whining about your situation. Stop whining. God has given you the authority and the power to speak to a thing. He's giving you authority and the power to smash the enemy. Put your armor on. Stop walking around here like you don't understand that you better be meditating on the word day and night. You better act like you know that you got to put on some the armor of God. Man, I was in there. I was so mad at God. Y'all think I ain't talking to you. I'm talking about myself. I was so mad at God. I got mad. I'm talking about I was mad. I was pissed off. I'm like, man, you just coming at me like that? Man, God, what? But realizing as I sat there for a second, I was sitting there complaining. Why she's speaking to me like this? Why she talking to me like this? Why she got to give me the instructions? Because you wasn't listening. You wasn't, Jerry, you wasn't listening. I had to give them to somebody that's going to help your family get out of the situation at the end. Because if I don't give it to her, then she's going to be frustrated. If I don't show her how she needs to do it, how she needs to be, and what she needs to be, then you ain't learning. You ain't listening. You sitting there like a little boy, a little coward. Man, get out the corner. Get out the corner. Stop crying. You over there crouched in the corner talking about, oh, enemy, leave me alone. Yeah, okay. Sit there like that if you want to. He going to beat you pillar to post. And that's exactly what he did. I couldn't come out of addictions. I couldn't come out of that because I'm sitting there like a little boy. Matter of fact, then I got up and I ran. I don't want to be around this. I don't want to be around her. I don't want to. God, stop talking to me. Leave me alone. Like God is leaving you alone. Like God is not talking to you. God is omnipresent, man. He ain't going nowhere. I'm thinking I'm running away from God. Jonah thought he was running away from God, but what he did was he ran and put somebody else in trouble. I put my family in trouble. Why? Because I wasn't a watchman. I wasn't covering. I wasn't protecting. I wasn't being in the place where I was supposed to be to cover my family. And I allowed the enemy to come in and wreck shop over my family. Why? Because I was being a coward. Man, this out. Time out for the cowards. Time out for the cowards. Man, listen here. Man, it's time out for that. Don't act like you don't know. You read the word and we actually apply the word. Apply the word. Don't just, I read it on Sunday. I read it on Wednesday. Every now and then I read it, but I don't apply it. That was me. I don't know about y'all. That was me. I was reading the word. I was studying the word, but I wasn't applying the word. The word wasn't a part of my living life. It wasn't that. It wasn't that because I was still a coward. I'm talking about a coward, man. You go out in the streets and say, man, you're a coward, man. Somebody might want to fight. But why you won't fight the spiritual fight, dude? I'm like, okay, open your eyes, Gerald. It's time to fight real. It's time to fight a real fight. It's time to fight a real fight. You are a spiritual being. You are a spiritual being living in a natural body. But let me tell you something. You're not fighting in the natural and you're definitely not fighting in the spiritual. You're not fighting in the spiritual. Something says you're not fighting against flesh and blood. Duh, the word tells you that you're not fighting against flesh and blood, Gerald. But here it goes. I was scared to fight something that I couldn't see. Man, God says you already got the victory. I already had the victory. I'll give you the strength. I give you the wisdom. I give you the understanding. I give you the strategies. He's giving me everything I need, and I was still acting like a little coward. Man, right now I want to slap my own head. I slap my own head. I slapped my own head for God. He ain't even got to slap me no more. Get up. Come on. Stop being a coward. Get yourself up. Stop doing that. Let's go. It's time to be a man. It's time to be a man. It's time for you to be watchful. It's time for you to be, you need to be standing firm. Stop running. What you running from? Man, I'm telling you, I was a runner. Out of there. Ask my wife, man, let something go wrong in the house. I'm gone. Deuces. I'm in the wind. Out of there. Didn't understand responsibility. I ain't understand how to take care of my house. I ain't understand how to, I ain't understand how to take care of myself, because I spent my whole life in my mind saying somebody gonna take care of me. And all of a sudden, you know, here it goes. You know, I get married and my wife is a highly educated person. My wife had what she needed. She really didn't need me. You know what I mean? So she had everything. And so the beginning of our marriage was she was doing everything. She was like the dominant one. And I was the other. It was like Ahab and Jezebel. It was like a role reversal. And she didn't have a Jezebel spirit. She just operated in it because I allowed her to, because I was a coward. She got into that position by default. It ain't that she asked for that position. She got into that position by default. And you know why she got in that position by default? Because I was a coward. I wasn't standing up. I wasn't being firm. I wasn't being the man that God has called for me to be. I wasn't even operating in the natural man that you're supposed to be, just by a natural man. So I definitely wasn't doing it in a spiritual man. So it was a jacked up place. So we're talking about a role reversal for a long time. And then we got the revelation that, dude, we operating in the Ahab and Jezebel spirit. Oh, okay. Ahab and Jezebel. Let's cancel that. Okay. Let's roll reverse. Okay. Oh, okay. Now you got to take responsibilities. Sorry. Gotta go. Don't know how to do that. And here it is. I wasn't even trying to learn. Slap your head, Gerald. I'm slapping my head because it's a wake up call. That was a wake up call. God said, get up, man. It's time to stop running and learn. Let's go. Now I tell my wife, you know, my wife is a teacher. She has a teaching anointing, and God gives her revelation on stuff, man. And it's just like blows my mind. And I'm the recipient of it. Y'all don't get to hear some of the stuff that my wife get to say that God says to her, but she says it to me because she has to get it all. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, my God, you told her that? And in my mind, back then, it was like, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm out of here. Deuces. I'm out of here again. I'm running. And now, not only am I leaving, but I'm leaving and I'm running to terror. I'm running to stuff that's going to just jack me up. But here it goes. Every time I step out of the door, I put my family in jeopardy. I put my destiny in jeopardy. I put my purpose in jeopardy. I put my wife's destiny and purpose in jeopardy. Why? Because we're as one. We're as one. And I wasn't even paying attention to that. I wasn't thinking about that. It was a me, myself, and I. I only wanted to do what I wanted to do. So I was operating in a coward place. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When I really found out and start realizing who I am and what I am and what God says I am, it's because my wife started speaking that thing, and that thing started getting into my, not only getting into my mind, but getting into my heart. And it got into my heart. It got into my spirit. And now yesterday I talked about believing a thing, having faith in a thing, and having hope in a thing. When those three things start clicking in me, I understood that every time I walk out that door, I better have my armor on. Because I'm in a fight. The enemy does not like me. Matter of fact, the enemy doesn't even like my bloodline. He tried to destroy me. He's been trying to destroy my bloodline. I'm talking about for generations before me. He's been trying to kill them off. Why? Because there's an anointing on their life to actually change, to make a change in the earth realm. I'm talking about in the earth realm. Man, I got so many generations of pastors and ministers in my family. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I think every one of my brothers and my cousins, they got an anointing to minister, because their mamas and their daddies are. So it's running in their bloodline. My children have an ability and have an anointing on their lives. And I pray that they see the anointing on their lives. I don't want them to be cowards. I don't want them to be fearful. I don't want them to run from the calling. I bind the worldly influences and the worldly temptations that'll take away their anointing, that'll take away, you know, cause them to be fearful of being a man of God or a woman of God. Man, that thing, man, no, I bind that now in the name of Jesus. No longer we gonna operate in that cowardice. sour place. So if you sitting there and you crying and you whining about your situation, that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to stay at a coward place. He don't want you to understand that you are a warrior. He don't want you to understand that you have weapons. He don't want you to understand that you have the ability to fight him and destroy him. He doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't even want you to link up with somebody that actually is going to fight with you. Not a person that's going to pat you on your back and talk about, man, my wife, my situation is just like yours. My situation is bad. Oh, I wish this would happen. Man, wishy. Stop wishing and get on with the word. Get on with what the word says. If the word says pray for them that despitefully use you, start praying for them. Pray harder for them. Pray till you start sweating. Pray till you start seeing something happen. Don't just pray and think that this microwave. This ain't microwave. That's why cowards sitting around. Because you don't really want to do nothing. You don't want to. Well, man, I'm telling you, that was me. I ain't really want to do anything. All I want to do is just be a coward. I want to sit in the corner. I want to run from my responsibilities. I want to run from my family. I want to run from my wife. My wife getting on my nerves. My wife is not respecting me. My wife is talking. She's offended me. Yeah, all of these things, man. God is like, man, get up. Be a man. Be a man. Be strong. Stop being a little wimp. Stop being a little coward. You always just want to be a little coward. Stop being a coward. It's easy to be a coward. It's easy to run. It's easy to run. But when you realize that you have the victory, that you're already a winner, that you know that you have to meditate on his word day and night. Why would he say that? Why would the Bible say meditate on my word day and night? Why would the Bible say put on your whole armor of God? Why would he say that? Why would he say that I have given you victory over the enemy? Why would the Bible say that? Why would he say that? So once again, you go back to the last broadcast. I'm checking. You got to check your belief. You got to check your faith. You got to check your hope. Because if you ain't operating in any of those, then you're going to sit here in a coward place. That's what he told me. So yesterday he gave me belief, faith, and then today he gave me a coward. He's like, yep, because if you didn't have that stuff and you wasn't focusing and functioning in that stuff, then you would be sitting over here in a coward place. You remember the little coward that used to walk around complaining about what your wife did to you? And you want everybody, you'll go and tell somebody, yeah, man, she talked to me like this. Man, she just act like this and this and this. Yeah. And you want somebody to co-sign it. I had some people that are co-signing. They was, you know, when they co-signed, it just solidified my cowardness. All you did was get another coward to co-sign. He wasn't strong enough to say, man, get your behind up and go home. Man, stop. I used to have a drunk. This man woke up drinking every single day. I mean, he stayed drunk. This man used to say, he used to look at me like, boy, go home. Why are you over here? You don't even need to be with these people. You running from something. Go home. Stop running. Just be a man. I'm looking at him like, man, shut up. You a drunk. Who you talking to? You can't talk to me like that. Man, you better sit over there and be quiet and just drink your alcohol. Yeah, okay. I'm going to sit over here and drink. But you know I'm telling you something good. A drunk. God, I have a drunk to actually speak some wisdom in you because you're a coward. You're a coward. And I'm saying, dang, I got a drunk talking to me. God calling me a coward. I'm really acting like a coward. But it had to come to a place where at some point, I got to realize my actions. I had to realize what I was doing and what I was affecting. Man, I was affecting my family. I was destroying my family. I was destroying my destiny and purpose. I was like literally trying to, I was altering it. I was on the wrong road. I took the wrong path. Jonah took the wrong path. He ran. God told him to go one way. He went the opposite way. How many of y'all did that? God said, I need you to stand here and pray. I need you to declare something for your husband or your wife. I need you to declare this for your destination, your destiny and purpose. I need you to be praying. I need you to be declaring. I need you to be fasting. I need you to get your weapons. I need you to to stand up. I need you to walk. I need whatever he asking you to do that seems like it's so hard for you. It's so hard. You don't understand, God, my situation. I've been separated for 30 years and you telling me to stand. Man, in those 30 years, you were supposed to learn something. You were supposed to learn endurance. You were supposed to learn something. What was it you were supposed to learn? Did we even ask God, what am I supposed to learn in this situation? Because if you won't learn nothing in that situation, you stay in that grade. Duh. If you don't learn something in second grade, how in the heck you gonna get to third grade? Come on now. That's just a natural thing. If you don't learn what you're supposed to learn in second grade, how are you going to get to third grade? If you don't learn what you're supposed to learn in elementary, how you going to get to middle school? If you don't learn what you're supposed to learn in middle school, how you going to get to high school? It's a progression. He even gave you that same educational thing in the educational system. It's the same thing in the kingdom. If you ain't learning something, it's called maturity. If you're not maturing in a thing, then you're going to stay in arrested development stage. It's called a little boy. It's called arrested development. It's that place, Gerald. Slap my head. I'm just saying, man, I got to keep slapping my head because, man, God just, this thing here is just not some of this stuff I'm saying to you. He didn't give me that. I just got a couple pieces of things on this paper, and that's it. That's all he gave me. And now I'm sitting here like, dang, man. I remember you saying that. I remember being in this place. I remember just sitting here crying. What you crying for? Why you crying? Why you crying, Gerald? Why you crying? You crying because you chose this. Your wife was trying to tell you, come on home. She was trying to help you. But you chose this. And now you got these people about to lose their house. You about to have your whole household homeless. You want to be homeless? That's on you. But because you did what you did, you chose to do what you do, you're going to have your whole household homeless. Man, get yourself up. Stop playing. Get up. Stop being a little boy. You're a coward. And I had to call myself that. Man, I wouldn't even look myself in the mirror because I was so disgusted with myself. I was so disgusted with some of the decisions that I made. I was so disgusted with some of those things that I had done. It was bad. And then all of a sudden, I'm like God saying, go home. You know, I'm like, go home. Dude, I'm sitting here mad at what I did. I'm disgusted at what I did. I'm sure that she's mad. I'm sure she's disgusted. I made a phone call and she said, come home. I'm like, whoa. Whoa, whoa, check this out. She was doing that. She was like that devil. She was sitting there having communion with God. She was sitting there judging the situation. She was sitting there listening. And then God says, he's going to call you. And when he calls you, you just tell him to come on home. And guess what? I made a phone call. She said, come on home. And she said, the door's unlocked. Let me tell you something. Well, this is when I knew it was God. Because when my wife said, go on home, the back door is open. You got to understand my wife hates anything being open. Anything. If it's open, you have allowed the enemy to get into thy home. Anything can happen. You choose to allow the door to be open for my family to get ravished or somebody to run in here and take all of our stuff and kill us and whatever, you know, you allow. That's the mentality, because my wife she's not thinking a natural way. She's always thinking in a spiritual mindset. She's that type of person. And I'm sitting there like, my God, can you calm down on any of that stuff? That's when I was crazy. That's when I was doing my dumb stuff. That's when I was a coward. I'm doing all of that stuff. But when I came back home, I still had coward tendencies. I had a coward mentality, but I had to understand. 1 Corinthians 16:3, it says, be watchful, Gerald. Stand firm, Gerald, in your faith. Act like a man and be strong. I had to walk that place out. That's the place that I had to get to. That's the place that I had to stand on. That's the place that I had to move in. And it was like hard to move in that place because I still had a coward mentality. I still had a little boy spirit. I still had a arrested development spirit. And I was trying to break that thing. And let me tell you something. Some things come out by fasting and praying. But let me tell you something. Some of this stuff come out by having the right person that's linking up with you, that'll help you get through this. My wife was that person. Why? Because we are as one. Because if I'm suffering, she's really suffering. And if she's suffering, I'm really suffering. So if I'm not operating in a place that me and my wife can be as one, then I'm out of pocket. I was out of pocket. So all of those times that I ran, all of those times that I was in the house and being a coward and not taking care of my responsibility, I was allowing the enemy to wreck shop because I wasn't watchful, I wasn't standing firm, and I definitely wasn't being a man, and I wasn't being strong. I wasn't being strong. So I thank God now for deliverance. I thank God for allowing me to be in this place now that I'm my eyes that I can see. I had scales over my eyes, so I literally couldn't see. Only saw one perspective. You know what I'm saying? Only saw one perspective. I only could see one thing. And so let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The enemy has been trying to destroy my blood. I got my son on here. And so I divine every demonic plot, plan, and ploy that has been assigned to you, that's trying to get to you because of me. I come up against all forms of perversion. I come up against all forms of molestation. I come up against all forms of depression, suicidal thoughts, all mental anguish. Now in the name of Jesus, everything that has operated against me or came against me, came against your grandmother, came against your grandfather, Father, come against all of your relatives and your cousins that are on your father's side. I cancel it off you now in the name of Jesus. You will not be no coward, but you will be a man that is steadfast and unmovable. You will be a priest, prophet, and king. You are now in the name of Jesus. I speak it over your head. I speak it over your bloodline. I speak it over your children. Now in the name of Jesus, I break the spirit. I break every generational curse that is trying to get to you, that's trying to get to your mind, trying to get to your spirit, trying to get to your body, trying to get to your destiny and purpose. I cancel it off of you and all of my children. Now in the name of Jesus, here I am. Now I'm standing in a place that I'm watchful. I'm watching over my children. I'm watching over my children's children. I'm watching over my family. I'm watching over my destiny. I'm watching over the things that God has given to me to be able to. I ain't running from the enemy. I know what the enemy tries to do, but he don't even understand. He understands that I'm a winner. He understands that I have victory. Now he wanted to keep me from this place. He wanted to keep me from speaking to you. He wanted to keep me from doing what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm telling you, I got it. I'm choking him right now. Every time I get on here and do a turnaround, I'm choking him out. I'm choking him out. I'm telling you, I got him in a chokehold and he can't even breathe. I'm gonna keep chopping. I drop him on his head every morning. Every time I get on here with a turnaround, I'm dropping the enemy on his head. I got my armor on. I know I'm ready to, I know I'm in a fight. I'm not naive to the fight. I'm not naive to the tactics of the enemy. I remember when I used to be, because I was a coward and my wife used to tell me, babe, you don't see that? Babe, you don't see this? You don't see what the enemy is doing? No, I ain't see it. I'm operating in a coward. I can't see. I got a bad perspective. I got bad eyesight, and I got a bad mind, and I got a whining spirit. And so all I wanted to do is whine and not fight. And my wife used to say something to me. She said, babe, I'll fight with you. I'll go to war with you. I just need you to know that I'm here to fight with you. All I want you to do is fight. All I want you to do is just know that fight with me. You know, I'm not afraid to fight, but I'm going to need you to fight with me. She had an understanding that the power of agreement. She had an understanding that one sends 1,000 and two sends 10,000. She had an understanding that how can two walk together unless they agree? She had an understanding of that in the middle of this dumb stuff, in the middle of my cowardness, in the middle of my fearfulness, you know, absent, being absent, just. Being in the house and still being absent. Because I was a coward. I was a coward. Now I'm not a coward. Now I understand that I'm a general in this army of God. I got the power. I got the authority. And I'm walking in it, operating in it, speaking in it, feeling in it. I ain't playing with the enemy. I'm telling you, every day I'm trying to choke him out. Every day I'm trying to do damage to his kingdom. Every day I'm trying to break the bloodline curses. Every day, everything that is assigned to me, I'm watching it. I ask every day, God, give me 20/20 in it. Let me see it. Let me see it. My wife has an army of women. She's raising an army of women, and I'm asking God, show me them, show me what's attacking them, show me how you assign me to something that you want me to destroy the enemy, to help them to destroy the enemy. Because me and my wife coming together as one, and we speaking over a thing, and we praying over a thing. See, the enemy, we had a little talk yesterday. We pray, but we don't pray not as much together because we the schedule. I mean, see, the enemy will have us so busy that we'll have a disconnect on that. I mean, I caught that yesterday, and I laid down on it last night. But I woke up like, oh no, devil. Oh, you already know when we woke up this morning what we're going to do. Man, we're gonna beat this enemy up. We got way too much stuff to get done. I'm telling you, this is the time, people. Wake up. Wake up. Let's go to war. Come on, listen. I don't even care. Listen, I'm not gonna baby that. Oh my this, my that. You don't know this, you don't know that. Oh, I know what God can do. Oh, I know the power of God. I know the power and authority of God that He has given you, that He has given us, that He has given His sons and daughters. And now it's the time to take back everything that the enemy has stole. It's time to take it back. Why are you going to be a coward when you got the ability to take back everything that the enemy has stole? He stole it. And you got the ability to take it back. He done stole your marriage and you over here crying. He stole your joy and you over here crying. That's like a bully walking up to you, just slapping your head, and you go over there in the corner and cry instead of standing up and, man, okay, listen, I might lose this one, but I'm going to pit my blows in. But and I'm coming back. Every time I think about it, I'm going to come back and bust you in your mouth. Every time I'm going to come back and bust you in your mouth, I'm going to kick you, I'm going to punch you, I'm going to scratch you, I'm going to hit you with a rock, I'm going to hit you with something. I'm going to win this game. Man, David won. He won a battle with a doggone slingshot. Man, y'all better act like y'all know something, man. You better act like you know something. Something. Stop acting like you ain't going to church and learning anything. Stop acting like you don't know what the weapons are. Stop acting like you don't know how to pray. Stop acting like you don't know how to fast. Stop acting like you don't know how to declare a thing. Stop acting like the word don't work. That's how I was, man. Slap my head. That was me, y'all. That was me. But I tell you what, I know who I am now. I know. Listen, I used to think that, I was the football player and all of that, you know, it's woo, woo, woo. Man, football was something that I did. It wasn't who I was. I made that my identity. When that crap got taken away, I didn't even know who I was. That's why I was a coward. That's why I was a runner, because I substituted football with drugs, substituted football with pornography, substitute, you know, all of this stuff with, you know, substitute this stuff with straight sin. Straight sin. I was straight cowarding, man. I was trying to run away from my calling, run away from this, run away from that. I was just a runner. Man, I think I had on running shoes. I was a sprinter in the natural, and I was trying to sprint. But you know what? A sprinter can't run long distance. But this is a journey. This is a long distance run. At some point and at some time, you're going to slow down. At some point and some time, you're going to stop. And when you stop, oh my God. The enemy right there with you, because you done gave out of gas. You forgot that this is a journey. This is a cross country. This ain't about just a sprint. You ain't running 40 meters, 60 meters, 100 meters. That's not what you're running. You're running for some distance, man. This is a journey. So you got to prepare yourself for it. You got to prepare your mind for it. You got to prepare your heart for it. You got to prepare everything for it. This is not that place. So if you've been sitting there, you a person that have been sitting there whining and crying and going over them, you know, woe is me about this, woe is me about that. Man, God says, man, this is about kingdom business. This ain't just that. You focusing on that little behind thing. You focusing on something that you think God can't do. You focusing on something that's just minor to God. That stuff is minor to God. It's something that God is asking you, just trying to get to you. It's something that God is trying to show you. It's got something that God is trying to train you for. It's something that God is trying to place into you that you don't even know you have. You're sitting there looking at a situation and crying about a situation when God is trying to show you something totally different. Totally different. My wife don't even cry. When my wife cry, I know it's something that's legit. She don't cry. She get mad. She get angry. And I'm talking about at the enemy. I'm like, dang, boy, she good. I mean, she showed me something. She showed me what she has in her. She a fighter. She gonna fight. She going to fight. She going to fight to the end. She going to fight when she ain't got no strength. She just going to keep fighting. She understood. She was like walking this. Y'all laughing. Y'all might be. This woman was walking that epistle walk. She was like the living epistle. She was that person. So I was like, okay, you got me, gave me an example, but I ran from that example. But now when I came home and I'm in my right mind, look, I'm in my right mind. I can see, I can hear, I can speak, I can feel, I can stand, I can watch. I'm at that place. I'm at that place. Did it take a long time? Yes. Why? Because I chose to. I chose to go down wrong roads. I chose to walk slower. I chose to not hear, not pay attention. You know, I was doing that. When I came home, I was doing that. But my wife was already prepared. She was prepared for what the enemy was going to try to bring to her, because she understands warfare. She understands spiritual warfare. She understands that this is a fight, not against flesh and blood, because I'm stopped fighting against Gerald. I'm going to fight against those things that are coming against him. I'm going to fight against those things that are operating in his bloodline. I'm going to fight against those things that have been said about him. I'm going to fight against those things that are being, that God shows me that has been attaching itself to him. You ain't fighting a person. It ain't the person. It's the stuff that's been operating in the person. So once again, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. So if you're sitting there getting mad and emotional about a fight that you're not winning because you're fighting it wrong. You're fighting it wrong. That arguing, that griping, that dysfunction, that argumentative spirit, all of that stuff, that rolling your eyes, pointing your hands, slapping physical, all of that stuff, you're fighting the wrong battle. You're fighting it the wrong way. He don't tell you to put on your spiritual armor to fight a doggone natural fight. You know what that happens? That's when you jumped into your emotions and your feelings, and now you're fighting a doggone physical fight. It ain't a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. And if you ain't understanding the spiritual fight, then you'll be sitting there looking like a little coward, because once again, you'll be mad all day long, and then God says, I need you to do this, and you won't do it. I'm telling you. I ain't telling you something somebody had to tell me. I'm telling you, I ain't doing it, God. I ain't doing that. I'm not. Hey, this woman disrespected me. I ain't saying nothing to her. I walk through that doggone house all day long and won't say nothing. Nothing. Man, she ain't got to ever talk to me again. She ain't got to ever speak to me again. Man, God said, man, you act, that's a coward move. Yep, whatever. I'm going to be that coward today. I'm going to be that coward. I walk out of that house and I end up going straight to the dope house, straight to the drugs, straight to the alcohol, straight to all of that dumb stuff. And as I'm doing it, I had to realize, I wasn't realizing that what I was doing to them, what was happening to them and what the enemy was doing to them, I wasn't being watchful. I wasn't operating in 1 Corinthians 6 and 13. It says, be watchful, stand firm in your faith, and act like a man. Act like a man and be strong. Man, I was a little coward. I act like I ain't have not one spiritual muscle in my body. And at that, it's not like I didn't grow up in a church. I'm not going to act like I didn't know what the word says. It wasn't, I mean, we were in the doggone deliverance. We were in prophetic. We was in apostolic. It wasn't like I didn't understand any of that stuff. I understood it. I operated in it. But I was choosing to do something totally different. And that got me jacked up. And God says, that's a coward move. You know what you're supposed to do. You know who you are. You know the prophetic words that's been spoken over you. And you chose to run like Jonah. You chose to run. And keep running. I'm going to make this thing so hard for you. And it was hard. Now I became homeless. I was sitting on the curb, man, with no place to go. Homeless. Sitting with a truck. My truck, my tag was 2 years old. The sticker on it was 2 years old. And I'm riding around like, you know, hey, I'm good. I'm straight right now. Everything is good for me. Shoot, get caught. You going straight to jail. Straight to jail. I couldn't understand that because I was homeless. I ain't have no money. I ain't have no food. You know, I'm going by my boy's house, sitting there long enough that he'll say, man, you hungry, man? Let me give you something to eat. But, you know, at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, hey, man, it's time for you to go, man. I'm ready to go to bed. Now I walk out, get in my truck. I ain't got nowhere to go. So I go to a park and sit there. Or sometimes I go home and park in my driveway and lay down and go to sleep and then wake up early and drive out so they wouldn't know that I was actually there. But I was having a place to stay. My neighbors knew what I was doing because they got up early and they saw me truck and they saw me when I left. And so they understood what was going on. But me, I chose that dumb life. I chose to be, you know, a coward and not handle my responsibilities and fight for my family. So this was that place for me. So I want you to come out of the place of the coward. Come out of the place of the complaining. Now, when you complaining and I'm talking about like complaining, like sitting there, whoa, 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 it's me. You saying it, and because it's going on for so long, you just feel like you hopeless. I talked about that yesterday. You just feeling like you hopeless, but find hope in God. Let your faith increase. Let your belief increase. Start believing that what the word says will happen, but you got to apply it. That means you got to put on your whole armor. Understand that you are in a spiritual war. Spiritual war. This is not a natural fight. So stop. I'm just telling you like God said. Stop fighting a natural fight. Stop fighting Yvette. Stop arguing with Yvette. Stop coming at Yvette wrong. She's fighting a spiritual fight and you're fighting a natural fight. She's trying to cancel those things that's in your doggone bloodline. Cancel those things that's causing you to act like an idiot. Cancel those things that is causing you to act like a little boy. You still acting like a little boy. You in that arrested development stage and you think that you acting like because you are a natural man, but you ain't even a natural man. You operating in a little boy. You speak like a little boy. You act like a little boy. Your mannerisms is like a little boy. When you find yourself sitting there pouting, mad, you done said something. Man, come on, for real? Like, for real, for real? Like, for real, for real? Man, cancel that dumb junk. Let's go. It's a fight, man. Let's fight. Let's fight together. Are you willing to fight? Are you willing to stand up? Are you willing to be watchful? Are you willing to increase your faith? Are you willing to ask God to give me everything that you need? Are you willing? Are you willing to do this? Sometimes you got to ask yourself, God, am I willing? Am I willing? Because when God asks you to do something, you got to be willing to do it. It's no if, no ands, no buts, or any all of that stuff that you would, but this, but that, if he, and should this, what if he didn't, how would he do it? Man, if you putting all of those buts, ifs, and ands, and all of that stuff in your sentences, and when it deals with spiritual warfare, then you ain't ready. All you want to do is be a coward. All you want to do is complain. All you want to do is just sit back and let somebody else fight for you. You want somebody else to pray for you. You want somebody else to intercede for you, but you just sit in there like, yeah. Yeah, bro. Yeah, man. Pray for me, man. Yeah, man. I need you to be praying for me, man. Come lay hands on me. But yeah, man, please. I ain't laying hands on you and then pick up that old coward spirit that you walking around with because you ain't willing to fight. You got to show me you willing to fight. You got to show me that you willing to stand up and get just as dirty as I am. You got to be willing to show me that because I ain't laying hands on you. I ain't praying for you. I don't want to intercede for you because all you going to do is allow me to take all of your demons, all of that stuff that you did. It's trying to transfer to me. No, it's not going to transfer to me. I'm going to cover myself. I'm going to keep myself in the armor of God. I'm going to keep myself in the blood. That's what I'm going to do. And yes, I'm going to intercede for you, but I'm praying that you get some strength. I'm praying that you come out that coward position. I'm praying that you come out of that place of fetal acting like a little baby. I'm praying that. I ain't praying for your husband, your father, your daughter, your all of that there. Man, I'm praying that you have some strength that when they get ready to come back and they get strong enough that your butt would be ready. That's what I'm praying for. I'm canceling that old crying behind spirit. You've been crying for years. You've been crying for years, but you ain't learned nothing in those years. You ain't learning nothing in those years. All you learning is how to cry harder, how to cry more. Man, it's time for us to come out of that. I'm just telling y'all how that was for me. Now, if that stuff fits you, then you have to, you have to wear it. I was in that was my place. Like, you're a crybaby. Somebody, when you were little, when somebody said, you're a crybaby, you always crying all the time. That's why I don't like crying. You know what I'm saying? I get on here and I get emotional and God starts raising up this passion and I start crying. I'm like, man, God, I don't want to cry. I don't want to be a cry because I relate it back to, crying, always whining, all of that stuff. Stop crying. Once again, the enemy tried to pervert my tears. He tried to pervert. He's always trying to change and alter who you are. Even my tears. I understand now what my tears are about. I understand that I'm moved with compassion for the people. I feel the weight of the people. I feel the weight of this. Today is the day that God is just telling me, hey, it's time to stop. It's time to stop this little coward business. It's time to stop this little baby business. It's time to stop all of that. It's that day. Gerald, I'm slapping your head and I want you to bring that thing out. That's right, daughter. I'm a weeping prophet. I weep and what, cause I feel the weight. Somebody is saying, you just don't know, man. Get that out your mouth. You don't know. I don't have to know. God knows. God knows it all. God is all knowing. I don't have to know. But if I want to know, God will reveal it to me if I ask him to. But all I want to do is just pray. I just want to pray that coward spirit. I want to pray that grieving spirit, that spirit that'll cause you to keep running, that'll cause you to act like a little boy or a little girl. All that rested development place. You want to be in an argumentative spirit all your life. All you want to do is argue. All you want to do is, you going to feel the pain that I felt. Seriously? Man, that's a spirit of unforgiveness. You ain't forgive. If you still operating in a get back spirit, a retaliating spirit, I'm gonna make you feel the way you feel. Anytime you bring up a person's past or you bring up something that hurt you, that and you say it in a malice way, in a mean way, you're operating in a coward spirit. You're hiding behind that fear. You're hiding behind that trauma. You're hiding behind that thing. And so all you want to do is lash out at it. Lash out at the person that actually did it. Man, come on, man. Break that spirit of coward, man. That's a coward move. Man, let's go. Hey, I'm operating. Here's a bold move. I forgive. I forgive 70 times 7. I love you because you why you unlovable. I care for you. Why you don't even care for yourself. I care for you and I love you unconditionally. There's no holes. There's no loopholes. There's no conditioning. I'm just going to love you because God says love you. I'm going to love you the way God says love you. I'm just going to do it. If you can probably get to that place, you probably wouldn't be crying all the time. You probably see something different because we got to check our heart. That was me. God said I had to check my heart. He started checking my heart. When he started checking my heart, I had to get from the spirit of offense. I had to get over the spirit of objection. I had to get over the spirit. I thought of bitterness. I had root of bitterness. I had that thing so deep down in the heart, and God started plucking this thing up. But let me tell you something. While he started working on me, he was already working on my wife. She had to get to a place where she had to be able to help me, literally help me. How are you in a place to help somebody? Can you help somebody? Because let me tell you something. The enemy ain't stupid. The same thing that divided you the first time will be the same thing that'll divide you again. The same thing that broke your covenant will be the same thing that break your covenant again. He don't do anything different. He only does the things that he know that he can do that work. And he's going to make it work. So I just wanted to come on. I didn't want to be on long. So I'm at my hour. And so I pray that this bless you. I pray that this help you. I pray that we coming out of this place of a coward and becoming the warriors that God has called for us to be, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and he has made this day. And so I pray that you got your armor on. I pray that you're ready to fight. I pray that this right here has charged you. This has brought you into a place that you're ready to fight. You're no longer the wimp. You're no longer the coward. You're no longer the in fetal position. You're ready to fight. It's a fight now. It's time to fight. It's time to get back everything that the enemy has stole. It's time to take it back. It's time to gird up and let's go. It's time to start. Get your marching orders and let's go fight. It's time to get your resources, get your strategy, get your ammunition, get your weaponry, get everything that you need to go to war to fight. You got to take it back. You got to get an attitude that says, I'm done with this. I'm done with this little thing. I'm done with this past. I'm done with this hurt. I'm done with this pain. I'm done with this agony. I'm done with the enemy. I'm done. He's no longer going to wreck shop over my home. He's not going to wreck shop over my marriage. He's not going to wreck shop over my children. He's not going to wreck shop over my destiny and purpose. He's not going to wreck shop in my mind. He's not going to get into my heart. He's not going to orchestrate my stuff. He's not going to influence me in doing the arguing again. I break those spirits. I'm a warrior now. I know how to fight. I'm fighting in the spirit and not in the natural. I'm moving forward. This is that day. This is that time. Stand up, warriors. Stand up. Stand up. Walk out of the coward. Walk away from the coward mentality. Walk away from it. Walk into the warrior's mentality. They talk about that mama mentality. Man, I'm trying to tell you, you get into God's warrior mentality, you go into a whole nother level. You go into something totally different. You see differently, you hear differently, and you speak differently. I bet you the mama mentality don't get that. You don't get spiritual realm stuff with a mama mentality. That's a natural thing. That's a worldly thing. We talking about a spiritual thing. A warrior's get to see something differently. Warriors get to understand something differently. Warriors get to operate in something different. That's what you operate in. You operate in a supernatural strength. You operate in a supernatural grace. You operate in a supernatural favor, because God says, I have given you the victory over the enemy. I'm telling you, you walk in that mindset. You walk in that authority. And I'm telling you, as you continue to walk in it, as you continue to walk, you get stronger. And let me tell you something. As you walk out of it, the stronger you will get, because you'll understand that I'm walking towards strength. I'm walking towards truth. I'm walking towards understanding. And as I'm doing that, I am getting stronger. You start declaring over yourself, I am stronger. I am a mighty warrior. I am a priest, prophet, king. I am a Proverbs 31 woman. I am a woman of, just start speaking to yourself. Start speaking to your mind. And as you speak it to your mind, it getting into your heart. It is getting into your heart. Now it's time to walk that thing out.